Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say.
All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. That Greek word sorrows is Odin, O-D-I-N, and it means birth pains. Birth pains. So birth pains are a way to describe the judgments that take place in the tribulation period. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Remember, all the T's in the New Testament come together. So Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then start the T's. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, or peace and security could also be translated, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. So when people say, the day of the Lord is like a thief that comes in the darkness and no one knows, they've taken it too far. They don't know and are taken unawares, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. But how does it describe the tribulation period in verse 3? As labor pains upon a pregnant woman.
Which we're seeing right now.
We're seeing it, the foretaste, the Braxton Hicks at least. Go to Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30 also uses the language of birth pains to describe these days. Jeremiah chapter 30. Verses 6 to 7. And maybe even a little farther. And we may as well start in verse 5. Because I don't like to start in the middle of a sentence. Why do I keep doing that? I don't know. Verse 5. For thus says the Lord. Who said it? The Lord said it. We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. He says that because how does the seven-year tribulation period start? With a peace treaty. He says, we've heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. So it was supposed to be a seven-year time of peace, but it's not. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor and all faces turn pale? Alas, for that day is great. What day? Day of the Lord. So that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day. What day? Day of the Lord. Says the Lord of hosts, Adonai Zavaot, end times prophecy. That I will break his yoke from your neck. Who's the his? False Messiah, acting as the agent of Satan, and will burst your bonds, no more a slave to sin. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, the end of the time of the Gentiles. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king. Who does he mean by David their king?
Yeshua,
Messiah, the son of David, whom I will raise up for them. Also in Isaiah chapter 66, go back towards Genesis, Isaiah chapter 66. Verses
starting in verse 7. And I may go all the way through verse 17. Isaiah 66, verse 7. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Ladies, don't you wish it worked that way? Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? People look at these verses and say, that's the formation of the nation of Israel in 1948. It is not. This is a fulfillment of Revelation chapter 12, when Israel gets saved. It says, for as soon as Zion, which is prophetic Jerusalem in the day of the Lord, was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Notice in verse 8, male child, in verse, that was 7, male child, verse 8, to her children. These are the Jews with Messiah being born in their hearts. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem. Be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her, to Jerusalem, to Zion, like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles, like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed on her sides, you shall be carried and dandled on her knees. You may know what dandling is. Yeah, when you put the child on, you bounce them on the knees. They tend to like that. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. What is that word indignation in Hebrew? Za'am, Z-A-apostrophe-A-M, is the tribulation period. Is the tribulation being poured out on his servants or on his enemies? On his enemies, and there's only the two categories. For behold, the Lord will come with fire. Fire is a picture of what? Judgment. With his chariots like a whirlwind, it comes quickly and can't stand up to it. To render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh. This is Battle of Armageddon. And the slain Lord shall be many. Who's going to get slain? Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst. All the idolaters. All those who bow down to the false Messiah. All those who take his mark. Eating swine's flesh. What's a swine?
Pig.
And the abomination of the mouth shall be consumed together, says the Lord. I don't want to be eating a ham sandwich when the Lord comes. That's for sure. Back to Revelation chapter 12. Verse 2, then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. So many commentaries say this is talking about Mary 2,000 years ago. It is not. It is the nation of Israel in the tribulation period coming to faith in Messiah. Verse 3, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold. Why behold? Oh, this is really important. Don't you miss this. A great fiery red dragon. Anybody know who that is? That's Satan. Having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. Now, wait a minute. 7 heads and 10 horns. That's the what? That's the kingdom of the false Messiah. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Don't just make things up. Let the Bible define the Bible. Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. After this want, after the kingdom of Greece, I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, that's the one for Rome, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. If you've got 10 and 3 are plucked out by the roots, how many are left? 7. So the false Messiah will militarily overthrow 3 of the 10 nations, and the other 7 will say, hey, you don't have to attack us, we just give you our power. It says, and there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. We know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 who that is that speaks such pompous words. Also in Daniel chapter 7, verses 19 to 27. Here comes the interpretation. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with his teeth of iron and his nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet, and the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, the other horn is the false Messiah, Antichrist, before which 3 fell. So he roots out 3, leaving 7. Namely, that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. As I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came. That's Revelation 19:11. And a judgment was made in favor of the saints and the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said, here's the explanation. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, that's Rome, which shall be different from all other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, and it did, trample it and break it in pieces, that is, the Roman Empire wasn't conquered, it broke up. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, that's why we call it the revived Roman Empire. There are 10 nations within the old Roman Empire that decide to confederate together, kind of like a European Union, maybe. And another shall arise after them. That's the false Messiah, Antichrist, or beast of Revelation 13. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. The other 7 then voluntarily given their authority. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, just like 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us. Shall persecute the saints of the Most High. And Revelation 14:12 remembers the saints are those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua. So they will not worship the false Messiah. And he hates that. And he wants to kill them all. And he shall intend, meaning try, to change times, which are the festival seasons, and the law, which is the Torah. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. Wait a minute. In Revelation 12, we're exactly at the midpoint, and the saints are given into his hand for 3.5 years, which means exactly starting at the midpoint. So this is parallel to what we're reading in Revelation 12. It says in verse 26, but the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Not them, but him. That's where Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 tell us all the nations are going to come up to worship the Lord. Zechariah 14:16 says they're going to come up to worship the Lord and keep the Feast of Tabernacles, etc. Okay, back to Revelation 12. And the fiery red dragon is actually explained in verse 9 of Revelation 12. It says, so the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan. Okay, we'll get back to that verse. That helps us know that the fiery red dragon really is Satan. And he's coming to take hold of the kingdom of the false Messiah or Antichrist, who serves him anyway. But he's going to become a lot more personally involved in a minute. So verse 3 was, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, that's Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. That's the 10 nations of the false Messiah. He overthrew 3 militarily, and the other 7 give him his power. That's why there are 10 horns, that's 10 kingdoms, but only 7 diadems, because he overthrew 3. Verse 4, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Is he throwing the sun and other physical stars? No. Verse 9 says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, is cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So a third of the angels in heaven revolted against God and followed Satan, a third of them. And at this point, at the midpoint of the tribulation period, Satan's going to be kicked out to the earth and his fallen angels with him, all of them. That's why the last 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation. It's really going to be bad. So back to verse 4. Verse 4 says, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, those are the fallen angels, otherwise known as demons, and threw them to the earth. Up to this point, Satan has been allowed access to heaven. Too many people teach that Satan was kicked out back in Genesis. He was not. In Isaiah 14, he was not. He gets kicked out of heaven here. Verse 4, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. This is not looking back to the birth of Yeshua from the Virgin Mary 2,000 years ago. What he wants to do, as it told us in Daniel, he wants to kill every person who comes to faith in God through Messiah, who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Yeshua. If he can kill every one of those people, he wins. Why? What did Messiah say in Matthew chapter 23? Let's turn back to Matthew 23. That's exactly right, Daniel. Let's turn back to Matthew 23 and look. Matthew 23. Verse 39, for I say to you, you, which is Jerusalem, shall see me no more till you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So if Satan can kill every person who comes to faith in Messiah, then Jerusalem can't call for Messiah to return, and Satan wins. But you know what? He fails. So that's what it means in verse 4. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. He wants to kill every believer the moment they come to faith.
I have a question because I kind of got lost there somewhere.
Okay, go ahead.
I understand that the Satan stands in heaven.
We lost you. We're not hearing anything. Are you still there? Hello? We're not hearing you. Nothing at all. So we'll go on, and we'll hope that she can give us her question in a while. But maybe if I understood the question from what she said here, a lot of people think that Satan was kicked out of heaven, but he was not yet kicked out of heaven. What does the scripture say he's doing right now? Running to and fro, seeing who he may accuse. And who does he accuse to? To God in heaven. He's going back and forth between heaven and earth, accusing you and me before the Father until Revelation chapter 12. Let's go back to Isaiah 14, which may also be part of her question, because in it, a lot of people teach that Satan was already kicked out of heaven long ago. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars of God refer to the angels who stayed true to God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Verse 12 begins in the prophetic perfect. Oh, how the fall of Satan is going to be. But in verse 15, you shall be brought down to Sheol. An angel can't be brought down to Sheol. Sheol is the place where the dead bodies go and the spirits of the dead bodies go, to the lowest depths of the pit. So verse 15 is actually talking about the false Messiah, when he gets destroyed by Messiah when he returns in Revelation chapter 19. Verse 16, it says, those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms? Talking about the false Messiah and his reign of terror in the tribulation. Who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch. Satan can't die. So it's talking about how the false Messiah is going to be destroyed when Messiah comes. He who was indwelt by Satan after Satan gets kicked out of heaven in Revelation 12. I don't know if it helped or not, but let's go back to Revelation 12. Verse 5. So she... Wait. Yes?
Sorry, I have a question.
Okay.
Verse 4, the word child, and in verse 5, the word child are both capitalized.
Okay.
Is that Yeshua?
Yes, that's Yeshua. Being okay. Born into the hearts of the people, not being physically born into the world 2,000 years ago.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, but it is Yeshua, and verse 5 is meant to confirm that to us. She is Israel, not Mary, bore a male child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's just to let us know it's Messiah Yeshua. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. That's true. That just identifies who Messiah is that was being born. When it says, and her child was caught up to God and his throne, that takes us back to Psalm 110, verse 1. So go back to Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. A psalm of David. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So in Revelation 12, 5, and her child was caught up to God and his throne, that's referring to Psalm 110, verse 1. When it says in verse 5, she bore a male child who was to rule on nations with a rod of iron, that's Psalm 2. So go back to Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is about the Battle of Armageddon, what the nations hope to achieve and why they don't achieve it. Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and a people's plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. His anointed is Messiah, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. In other words, they come together at Armageddon to keep Messiah from coming to rule and reign. They think they can defeat God. The Lord's reaction, verse 4, he who sits in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. What's it mean to hold somebody in derision? Is that to think well of them? No, it's not. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath. When is his wrath poured out? In the tribulation period.
and distressed him in his deep displeasure, quote, yet I have set my king in my holy hill of Zion. Meaning you did everything you could and you lost. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. That was the reference in Revelation 12:5. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Okay. Let's also look at Isaiah 66. Since we looked at and read verses 7 through 17 before, just put in your notes. Verse 15 and 16. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. That's what it means by a rod of iron. They will submit to his authority whether they like it or whether they don't. So back to Revelation 12, we're up to verse 6. Then a woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. This is what tells us exactly when this takes place. What is 1,260 days? It is exactly 3.5 years, which means this takes place exactly at the middle of the tribulation period. Here, it says she'll flee into the wilderness. In Matthew 24, it said this place is in the mountains. Yeah, Matthew 24, verses 15 to 22. In Daniel 11, verses 40 to 41, it says it's a place that's protected from the false Messiah. He can't get to them there. In Isaiah 16, 1 to 5, it's identified by name as Selah, which is Hebrew. The Greek is Petra. So Israel is going to flee in response to Messiah's command in Matthew 24, 15. We see the abomination of desolation run. And they're going to flee to the wilderness, to Petra, which is in today's southern Jordan, where she has a place prepared by God. And it really has been. There is running water from the place where Moses struck the rock the second time when he should have spoken to it. It's called today in Arabic, Ain Musa. That's the water source for Petra. There's housing cut into the rock for 250,000 people, but nobody lives there because the Jordanian government wants it for tourism and doesn't want tourists to be, disadvantaged. There's even an amphitheater there for worship services. And this is where the children of Israel are going to flee to, who believe Messiah. They've come to faith in Messiah. And they will remain there for the 3.5 years to the end of the tribulation period. And with that,
well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.